But then we get that Nanao, she gets popular because she killed the Garuda, and everyone wants to be her friend now, when they all was hating on her, talking about some, oh, know your place, and they're animals. Like, we don't want to hear that righteousness right now. And like, look at y'all, turncoat. I can't believe that. No pride is a sane prince.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbert Synergy's The Shop. I'm your host, Synergy. With me, as always, I'm my co-host, Herbie.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Herbie.
What's crack-a-lackin'?
Not much, but some lackin' crackin'.
That's terrible.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got a flavor this week, big dog? Big Douglas?
Yeah. I just thought this was a good one here when my boy Sukuna, when the lady, or what's his name, was like, yeah, you get that allegory of how the woman was like, oh, I'll try to show you love, and Sukuna was like, hey, it still hurt, but she probably would be better off talking to Gojo about that than me. Just the way he like said it. And in the manner, I was like, oh man, that's hilarious. Cold blooded.
Yo, my man, you know what I learned in that fight?
What did you learn?
Tsukuna wasn't going all out on Gojo.
That's what he said. He said he had to, what was it? It was something where, like, Gojo had to, like, not Gojo, but Sukuna had to just hold back just enough energy for if he actually defeats Gojo, that he's going to have to face an onslaught of folks.
I mean, he has to face the onslaught anyway.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to try to let that man leave alive.
Yeah, what'd you think? If you barely won, they'd let you come back another day?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but yeah, it was interesting tidbits there.
Man, so. My boy Ragna in Crimson Ragna. My boy took out the Tem Seed Superior Dragon and the Ape Seed Superior Dragon, and he basically did both of them in one shot kills.
Mm-hmm.
Irby, you should watch this anime.
I might.
You should. The first episode's like an hour long, but it's worth it.
You can't tell me what to do.
No, it's a recommendation.
I don't listen to nothing you say.
Listen, I don't listen to nothing I say neither.
Oh, I know. You don't listen to nothing at all.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Shall we get into a Liar Liar Pants on Fire?
Go ahead and spark that thing on up.
All right. Episode 8, Good Night. The third Sanji wants to play a game. It's to beat Hirito, and basically whomever wins gets to decide what happens. If the third Sanji wins, she gets to be Sanji. If Rina wins, she gets to be Sanji. And if Hirito wins, he gets to decide what's going on. Third Sanji basically told Rina that if she doesn't accept this challenge, she's pretty much gonna get undressed and let everyone see. And it won't matter because she's not the... No one will be able to confirm or deny whether she's the real Sanji anyway. Right off the bat, they think it was the manager who just got in trouble that set up this whole ordeal, and they went to ask Kaguya for help. And it was just like, and I thought to myself, like, you did kind of get him out of there quickly, but like, also, what are you basing this accusation on? I don't know. I feel like that third manager is really hurting the story here. But I'll continue. They ask Kaguya for help, and that she was basically trying to decide how like they can implement like using, because obviously Hirito is always handicapped, so they were trying to figure that out. So once they got into the field and like everything transformed into like the grand stage, they began testing the freeze time abilities, because like your move value determines like how long you have to wait for like certain abilities. And for different things it requires different amount of time, and it's usually like a multiple of your value. Yuki ended up trying out a stealth skill and got Hirito flustered when she snuck up behind him and he couldn't find him. And Vampire Dude is back to be a pain in the ass again. We found out that the student council president and the other girl knew each other from middle school. And when they were trying to situate the rooming situations, Yuki and Noah wanted to sleep with Hirito, which left the council president, student council president, and the other girl to sleep together. But Rina showed up and said, boys should sleep with boys, girls should sleep with girls. Of course, they should be separate, which is a really funny thing to say considering you've already slept in the same room with Hirito.
Make sure no one else does it, that's all.
Yeah, she's just trying to make sure. She's trying to secure her bag. Hirito runs into a little girl who I thought this was going to be like a trap. He ended up walking her to her room and getting her dinner. And I thought he was going to like clean up the room for her because it looked like a mess. But no, we just proceeded on with the game, and Nanase, I think is the random girl's name. This crew is trying to propose a truce with our guys, and homegirl just straight up attacked one of the dudes. And when it was all over, the council president was like lecturing her and like trying to make her feel bad. And like she had a reason that she did it, but like it was hard for her to say, and he wasn't really listening, so she stormed off upset. And Hirito ended up telling him when he asked if like he's in the wrong. He's like, not really in the wrong, but you went about it the wrong way. So yeah, that's it. Not much there. It was basically set up for next episode.
Yeah, well, a few things I would like to discuss with that one.
Fire away.
Yeah, I thought it was for some reason they got like a voting system in place, and it's supposed to be like an added buff on like who they think's gonna win. So they could turn the tide with that. And also, I thought his skills, he used that black mist and like the predict movement, and what's her name? Has to go out with, she has to go get ability replacement. Kind of curious to see what that is, if that like swaps out people or something else.
Noah? I'm sorry, Yuki.
Yeah, the maid. I forget her name.
I think it's mainly Shido Yuki. I think it's mainly to like, she plans on only using one ability. If we're talking about the three that they get, I think she only plans on using one ability. She's going to have two really useful abilities and that card as her third ability, and she's trying to give Hirito a really good ability. That's my thought process.
Yeah, well, she said she's picking it up for him to use, but he's going to need the people that's like a charge or whoever can get that for him. She was going to need them, so...
Yeah, essentially, if she does give him a skill, she can't use whatever skill that like he ends up giving her, because like it'll get exposed as a weak skill.
Oh, no, I think it's just like something like a skill that he just—it's like a memory chip function or something that he's going to be able to use. That's how I took it as.
We shall see.
Yeah, and then let's see here. Yeah. Well, it's also funny how they he met some new players, and she's like, "Yeah, you're the guy that graduated college at age 5, and this, that, and the other," and just the lies were just outrageous. So I thought that was funny, and then well, you did that when she attacks. But oh yeah, how he was with that little child like all day and all night. I saw it as like a trap to tire him out for the main thing. Like they went to the arcade and did all stuff. I thought
it was
like
I thought it was like a distraction or whatever. And it was just like, but like nothing happened after.
I also thought she was going to be, she might be like his competition. Like, oh yeah, I got pulled up. Like it, I don't understand how that was pertinent to the whole story, unless it was something that's going to take place later.
I also half thought that like she might have been like the younger sister of that super scary girl that like showed up during lunch that like kind of called the table trash.
Yeah.
I was thinking like all these wild scenarios and like they just continued on with the game.
Nothing was there. So I was like, oh, okay. What was this montage for?
Yeah, I'm going to remember her. She better come up again within the next 3 episodes.
I doubt it. People that like little details like that go all the time.
Oh my god, so many. I was just listening to like Solo Leveling again. I started over again and I was just like, there's so many things that like don't get used.
Resolved.
They, like don't get used again. Like when crafting became a thing and like he never crafted again. It was like, oh.
Yeah. And how that the one girl that was with him the whole time. I think she was like C-rank healer or something. And then like after he got his fame, he was like, oh, well, that's it. We're out.
Mm-hmm. And like he needed a third person to join the guild and he preferably wanted a hunter that didn't have any intention of hunting. She would have been perfect.
Yeah. Like it just, man, it's just stuff like that. Like little threads that aren't.
And
put back into place.
In the light novel, he mentions her when they're talking about finding a third member, but like he never reaches out. It's like, oh, why can't I only think about girls as like acquaintances? Well, you just mentioned 2 perfect ones. 2 who have no interest in hunting and are hunters.
Yeah.
They'll get paid quite well, and they won't try to interfere. Like, what are you...
Yeah, it was just wildness. But yeah, the new one comes out, I think, in a few weeks. Volume 8.
The audiobook?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Jobless Reincarnate. Or I think that's what it's called. That apparently has audiobooks. It has 6 books at like freaking $20 a piece. So I was like, oh,
Why don't you just buy the 3-credit bundle for like $35?
3-credit bundle?
Yeah, on Audible.
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they give me, yeah, I get 3 credits for $33.76 or something. I'm like, all right.
Hmm.
I'll have to show you the link.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. On to Reign of the 7 Spellblades. Season 1, Episode 5, Glare. So, his protector, I forgot her name, but she apologizes for not being in the labyrinth to help him out during that time with the Garuda. And so, then we flash to Katie, and she gets the troll to eat. And then we flash to every kid's worst nightmare. It's when I have to dissect an animal. So they had to dissect the animal. I forgot what they called it, but they were covered in like blood and guts. I was like, oh man, that's terrible. But then we get that now she gets popular because she killed the Garuda and everyone wants to be her friend now. And they all was hating on her, talking about some, oh, no, your place and they're animals. Like, we don't want to hear that righteousness right now. And like, look at y'all. Turncoat. I can't believe that. No pride is a sane prince. So then this is where things get interesting right here. So Katie's mad that Oliver doesn't get the attention either. She's like, he fought so valiantly and proud. But you know how things go.
Yep.
You never get your credit when it's due, but only after the fact. And so this is when Shelley was like, hey, I got some way to recognize you. And she was going to give her a kiss. And I was like, wait, no, don't kiss me. And then so the kiss doesn't happen. Katie's kind of upset that she was going to get Shelley's going to kiss her. And then now I was like, oh, give him a kiss. It's custom made. Here, and plants one on him. Like, well, she didn't plant one on him. No, she did, but he didn't. He's supposed to kiss her back, and she's waiting for that.
She and was Katie still waiting, too.
Yeah, Katie was upset. And then it's his cousin Noel. But he said, oh, sis. She's kind of like a Kirito and his cousin. So, then we get to, now we're still left on red. With the kiss, and we get to alchemy class with Walmart Professor Snape, Darius Greenville, and the kids are making all sorts of kind of mistakes. And Warrior Oliver, it's like, oh, you use this and you do that and you do this, and he's stopping all the accidents. Peter was about to blow up everything, and he stopped him.
Mister, I can do it myself, and it makes the biggest mistake.
Yeah, exactly. That's what hubris gets you. And so the professor's like, I'm impressed you know how to do all that. Who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm Oliver Horn. Not to be forlorn.
Never heard of you.
Yeah. That's my joke.
Stop.
Yeah, so then this is my boy Andrew's trying to look up for him. He's like, hey, be careful of that teacher. He pretty much takes all the credit and ruins kids' futures. And then he says, oh, there's someone you should meet. And it's the girl that put the spell on Katie. And so it was the spell. They talk. They say, oh, the troll. And it's like, oh, he might have been controlled by magic and this, that, and the other. And so then Katie goes back to the troll to feed him. And the troll's like, oh, he actually knows English. Like, you don't come back here. It's not safe. And so this is when Katie gets abducted.
And you know what? He tried to warn her because it wasn't safe, but him warning her is what made her not safe.
Well, he didn't know that lady was around the corner. He was just trying to give her
warning, nice at warning at the right opportune needed. Time. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it was a little ironic.
Yes. So then this is where Nanao and Oliver, they're like helping each other train. And Nanao's like, oh, I thought the troll was trying to escape for some reason. And Oliver was like, he thought about it. He's like, yeah, it was trying to escape. And then this is when they go back to the troll and they find out Katie's been kidnapped. Well, abducted. Mm-hmm. So troll tells them that lady's not nice or whatever. And so then they go searching for my girl, Katie. And they find her, and Milligan's there, Vera Milligan, and take her to the lab. And she's like, I'm going to do a bunch of experiments on her and this and the other. And her clan is responsible for people having, what was it? They're like social troll helpers or whatever, but they would run these experiments to give them thought processes and human language, terrible experiments and other stuff, zapping brains and such.
They're like, they're fighting for demi-human rights, but like ignoring the rights they want to give them to. It's weird. It's really hypocritical.
Yeah. So it's crazy. And then they start to fight, and she turns them now to stone. It turns out she has the basilisk eye. And it killed like six of her other siblings before it like finally melded with her. I was like, ooh,
your parents are terrible. Yeah, you knew she was twisted once she said that.
Your parents are terrible.
I knew, like, this girl's got some screws loose.
Like, you wasn't even treated as a human. They were just like, oh, next child up.
Honey, she died too. It's time to have another one.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it was. Yeah, that was it. About to wrap it up, get some reels. So, get more money.
All the time.
Shoot.
Vinland Saga, Episode 12, The Land on the Far Bank. Okay. There are some key things here to talk about, but overall, it's not a meaty episode. To be honest, they don't even see my boy Thorfinn until like the second half of the episode. But as I was saying, episode 12, The Land on the Far Bank, Askeladd gave a letter to the fishing guy to deliver to the elders on the other side of the bank. And while after that, we go to Bjorn, who's waiting for this dude called Ear to finish listening to the ground, and here's the most ridiculous thing I've ever fucking seen in a realistic anime, where like there's no powers involved. It's just like got people are just really strong. This motherfucker said he can hear about 500 people with Thorko, and that he can hear that they are days away. Wherever they are a day away walking distance. That is a far distance.
I mean, I don't think that's too far off. The distance might be exaggerated, but the Chinese had invented, it's like a glass bowl with like a paper on or something where like when it starts moving, like you could tell like how much force or whatever. So I guess you could say it's early detected seismograph. So an army that big, you could theoretically figure out like the distance, but I don't know if you could tell like the exact number of people, but you probably be like, oh yeah, it's a large force moving because of the way the earth's shaking and moving. And the vibrations. So it's not far off, but if they were like, oh, there's like, if they would have said they're like half a day's ride out or whatever, that might have been more feasible. But
bro, before Bjorn said before that, he said they were 2 days out.
Yeah.
So the distance doubled. Well, the distance got cut in half.
Yeah. So it's, well, no, I just get like the days ride out as like a, what do you call that thing? Like a, just a standard unit of measurement.
But I don't know if there's things where, yeah. He could just mean that like, if they stay still, they'll see them within this day.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be that far. Like it could be like, they're around the corner. Because they had two guys on horses that he spotted on the hill behind them. So they were like close enough to have scouts.
Yeah, especially if you like trading off and you're meeting people like halfway or whatever, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Ear heard the two horses on the hill. And like when they look to the side, they run away. Askeladd's letter, we found out, was a request for reinforcements. Supposedly, Askeladd has been acting strange since he saw Canute's face, according to Bjorn, because like they were surprised by it. And Askeladd said his impression of Canute was he doesn't look like a king. Asuka's kind of running his crew ragged. They're tired. They're like worried. And he wakes them all up. Said, Bjorn, Thorkell is coming. We need to go. So they get up and they mope around, and when they finally get to the destination, there's two people standing there. Asuka, like, this crew is dead at this point. They're worn out, and, like, they're not ready for battle. If this is where the reinforcements is helping, this battle might not... It might be the reinforcements minus Askeladd's crew. But nonetheless, Askeladd bounds down. He says he's honored that the commander showed up. And the dude with the commander whistled and, like, a boat showed up. So, like, the commander had his own entire crew. By the time we see Thorkell, we discovered that, like, they carried Askeladd's crew across the river. And Askeladd actually requested help from the whales, I think. I think that's what they called those people.
Yes. Whales.
The plan is to walk through the land rather than on boats so they can keep Thorkell off their ass. But Ragnar doesn't want to walk through whales because whales do not like the England. And he's worried that they'll try to kill him. That's when Askeladd told Thorfinn to, like, be Canute's bodyguard. They're around the same age. You know, say hi. And Thorfinn just mean-mugged Canute and scared him. But nonetheless, even after the commander dude tried to get, like, Prince Canute to, like, vow, like, they'll never interfere with Wales, their matters... he whispered something in Ragnar's ear, and I don't think what Ragnar said, which was, if you give us three boats, which the commander cut him off, but I don't think that's what actually what Prince Canute said. I think Ragnar was trying to finesse the situation, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, with that, I think he was trying to say what, like, was best for the king.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess he said that. So, you know. Who knows? Who knows what was said? We wasn't there.
Yeah, but...
We wasn't with them shooting in the gym.
While they're walking, the crew asks the priest about the valuables in the palace because they're, like, wondering what they're going to get rewarded, and they're, like, assuming he has mountains and mountains of slave women to do away with. And they actually drew a really pretty black girl in this, amongst the fantasies. Amongst talking to the commander, Askeladd had a moment where, like, he flashed back to Thor's and, like, mentioned falling in love with a man. And, like, I don't think he meant it, like, in a literal sense, because, like, I don't think he's gay. But I think, like, the way he was talking, he actually regrets killing Thor's.
And you could have saw that when they first did it. He was like, alas, it's a job, but, you know.
Yeah, he didn't. He definitely didn't want to, but, like... You couldn't tell he had regret doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because he took a great warrior. He like, revered him in the beginning anyway.
Yeah. So, they had some people they met up with, but, like, ears overheard something and whispered something to Bjorn. Bjorn whispered something to Askeladd. Askeladd told, whispered something to the commander, and he's like, are you sure? It's like, my guy has really good hearing. Turns out it was an ambush, killed Askeladd's horse, and, like, Thorfinn grabbed the shield and stood up, and, like, he just looked around him with a, like, expressionless face, and then he's just, like, mean mug, like, he's with the shit, let's do this.
Yeah. I also thought what was worth noting here was how... When he had asked for help, Askeladd's son of Lydia, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Does the doggy need some attention?
No. So it was, yeah, Askeladd's son of Lydia, and then I was like, oh, is that like a secret code? Because, like, normally he says, oh, it's Thor, it's... You know, Askeladd, son of...
the father, yeah. He's older, usually... Yeah. But, yeah. Like, maybe his mother is from the Wales side of the country.
That's what I was thinking. Or it's like a secret missive that he needed delivered some way.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, yeah, the guy, the fishing guy did change his attitude a little bit.
His whole demeanor. He was like, oh.
Right away.
Okay. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll get you there. No worries. So I thought it was like a secret code that he did and just went out there. I was like, oh, man, that's good. Yeah, and also how he said he's a good judge of character. So he's like, that boy's not made to be a king. So, yeah, all in all, it was an interesting episode. I did think how they did try to teach Canute the value of speaking up and doing your own thing, your own voice. Because Canute was like, oh, no, you just tell him. And he's like, I'm talking to the prince. It's like, oh, okay. You got to speak up, prince. Or else they could walk all over your country and take your lands.
Oh, I think the commander thought Thorfinn was the prince at first because, like, he had the, like, physique to be a potential king. Foreshadowing? I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Could you explain the deal? I think I was a little distracted by my wife was watching it. Can you explain what was going on when that dude on the boat was, like, looking around and, like, a girl was being a slave or some shit?
I think he thought it was Thorfinn because he had the hair and they kind of looked similar in age.
Oh, who was the dude on the boat? It wasn't Leif, was it?
It wasn't Leif, but I think it was someone that fished in the village that went somewhere else.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they're like, and then he started like crying a little bit. It's like, oh, is that Thorfinn? Because I guess they miss him. Yeah, that's all I got for that.
Carry on my herby son.
All right, moving on to the legendary hero is dead. The legendary hero is a skeleton. Season 1, episode 3. Is that? Yeah. Okay, so the hero is turned into a skeleton, and he's by the river, like, looking at his face and his appearance, and Yuno's coming by to wash up. So she's like, oh, let me just take off all my clothes and lay against the tree trunk and hide. Like, if he didn't have the hair, then he might have gotten away with it.
Bro, how's the hair staying on?
Well, your hair doesn't degrade after you die.
So do they just shave it, or it's just is there just a whole bunch of, like,
skeletons with hair? Yes.
Skeletons? Yo, stop. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're telling me if I dug a grave that was old enough, I'm going to find, and he had a full head of hair, or she had a full head of hair when she died.
Yeah. You find the juices of the remains of putrefaction, a skeleton, and whatever clothes they're buried in.
I'm sorry, did you say hair. Juices of the remains?
Yeah. You're like, your body liquefies after you die.
But what, doesn't that dry up?
If you're in the casket, no, because you're encased in a box.
Oh, so that's probably where that smell comes from.
Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah. So that's what happens. And it's just a skeleton there, so.
With some bomb-ass hair.
Yeah, and then if the person had implants when they died, they're in there too, or any other, like, metal or anything.
Huh.
This is in there.
So you can still cop a feel if you wanted to.
Technically, yes. But should you
mess around implants? It's morally it's morally
reprehensible.
Yes.
Repugnant.
Yes. All the R words you can think of.
Yeah. So. But yeah, the hair doesn't degrade, and your fingernails don't degrade either. But they just stop growing.
That's weird. I'd say peel them off. Just take them off.
What, your hair?
Yeah, just shave the hair, peel off the fingernails, remove the implants. Let it be a skeleton.
Well, you know, some cultures believe that you have to be whole to go to the afterlife, so that's why they leave the stuff in there. In some cultures, you don't need it. And some people, that's why the Egyptians buried their folks with relics and money, because they're like, oh, they're gonna need this in the next life. So yeah, So, yeah, we'll see. So, yeah, anyhow, so she's looking around. She spots the skeleton, and she's, like, burying it. And she's like, perverts must be punished, which I'm like, he's like, oh, she knew the whole time. So, I just thought that was pretty funny there.
Yeah, her face was just like, I know.
Yeah. And then so, Toka and her crew, they got to go to the Capitol. But he can't go looking like a skeleton. So he gets the idea of painting his face onto his sword. And he painted on like an Instagram model. Like the paint is so thick, it's like an Instagram model. Mm-hmm. No. And then so he talks to the king, and the king's like, oh, why are you here? You're not here for money because you declined that. You're here for something else, or this, that, and the other. And then he's like, oh, you're finally here to marry my daughter. He's like, you don't want to fight me? And so he's like, no, it's not that. And so then he ends up meeting the daughter, going to a room, and it's a Miss Marguerite Farum. And his face is like leaking down. And she's like, what's wrong with your face? Like, da da da, you don't look like this. And he's like, oh, it's a curse on me, and I have to work and get the curse dispelled. And she buys it, I think. I don't know. Then she's like, oh, we gotta keep our distance until the wedding is set in stone. And he's like, what? So he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna date you so hard. I'm like, oh man, my guy, he's down bad.
So listen, I'm just saying, no, we're not there yet. Go on.
Yeah, and then so she invites him to the masquerade ball because he can just be on the skeleton and pretend it's a mask. And she solves the issue of the leaky mask. She paints it up and does it well. And it kind of looks just like him. Then we flash to Henri and Yuna. They're walking, and when they bump into Leland Tillman, the orphanage director. So they're talking, they're chatting, like, what brings him to the city? And this, that, and the other. And they're like, oh, da da da. And he's like, oh, yeah, mana drops, because it says something about mana. And so he's like, yeah, you get some of these mana drops. He's like, yeah, I want to. They're like, oh, how much did it cost? He's like, oh, an absurd amount of money. And they're like, oh, we can't do that. It's like, it's okay. I'll be willing to trade the rest for an examination of your body. And this is when Yuna gets the wrong idea. He thinks he wants her. He's like, oh, I want the necromancer. I'm trying to see how that works. And it's purely for science for him, but she went the whole opposite direction.
Yeah, he's a creep.
Yeah. So then Toka's in Marguerite's room wondering why they got a big old cake in there. And she's like, oh, she probably just takes a little piece and just chucks it away. And then so she comes back with the mask. And she's like, oh, turn your head. I got to devour this food. Just demolishes it. Eats it like the what's the hot dog guy name that went every year? Joey Chestnut. Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. And so she devours it, eats it, and she's like she asks the legendary hero to look away while she was eating, but mid eat he turns around and says, oh, you didn't have to be so shy about eating that way. And so she eats that, and then she like falls out. She's like, ah, needs food. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on there? Because I guess she didn't have enough.
She got that Luffy appetite.
Yeah. And so Henri and Yuna are participating in a devil hunt, and Henri gives Yuna the physical enhancement garment that she got for Yuna, which is a weird, almost no type of protection, but she's like, oh, well, I'm just gonna wear this under my stuff. So it's pretty much like undergarment. And they meet these two fellers. They're like, oh, you're not gonna do anything with the high prince here, or the high queen, or whatever, the highness. She was there slaughtering like all the devils. He's like, we know a secluded spot to go to. I was like, okay, why go to a secluded spot? So I was like, that's red flag number one. Anyone try to get you alone, don't trust it.
No favors.
And they get there. Yeah. And they get there and they see a whole bunch of devils. And he's like, oh, try this electric thunderbolt stone out. And she does. She knocks them down. Turns out they're undead. And they're Leland's necromancy. So he got them. And then they string them up and they get abducted. And then you flash back to Marguerite. She has mana effusion syndrome, which essentially prevents mana from being stored in her body. So I guess you also could call it like magical diabetes. That, I feel like that makes more sense because food's involved.
Oh, magical diabetes.
Yeah, because it's like she has to eat so she keep her mana up, and diabetic people have to eat certain things if their sugar gets too low. So, could be one in the hand. And essentially, they get skinnier when it goes off the rails, or they make too much or something. So,
oh, my girl got plumped when she ate.
Yeah. So, we find out that she wants to be a speed eater. And when she eats, she gets a larger form for an hour.
See, I don't know why my boy is so against marrying her. She comes with two thigh sizes.
Yeah, he did go crazy for her thigh. He's like, oh, yeah, look at you. The thigh. Oh, yeah, the meaty juiciness. And I was like, my boy down bad.
I got to put a stocking on this.
Yeah. And so we flash back to Leland. And he's pretty much talking about Yuna's. She's like, you got such a nice femur there. So you get some of the best ones I've seen, and his whole evil plan is to make everyone into skeletons anyway. So there's no hating on the necromancy folks.
Yeah, my man's not obsessed with thighs. He's obsessed with a femur.
Yeah. That's,
which is basically...
Yeah.
Why does every guy in this freaking show have a thigh obsession?
I have no idea. And then we flash back to Toka and Marguerite going out into town, and his bodyguard doesn't like him because he thinks he's not the same person as before. Which he's right, because it's not the same legendary hero.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, so that was that. It was a good episode. It wasn't too much there, but it was nice.
The end will be next episode.
The end?
The end of this little necromancer story.
Yeah, it should be. I just wish they make the boy stronger. Like, that boy weak, can't do nothing. Yeah. I'm like,
it's weird because like they say there's ways to like improve your mana, so like even if he can't have an endless supply, there should be like
a magical artifact which grants him renewable supplies of stuff.
Yeah, like, freaking... Homegirl is only one step above him, and she can use the stones.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
And like,
none of it makes any sense.
And, like, they said, like, it was an issue because, like, the sword needs it and, like, his body needs it. Well, like, he's making great use of that sword without the mana. So, like, how about teach him just focus the mana on the fucking vanishing away decrepiting body.
Yeah, I just still, yeah. I feel like he should be stronger, but he's not.
Who knows? Maybe mid-season.
Mid-season? He might get the form. I don't think he'll ever get strong. I think that's probably his quirkiness, is him not being too strong.
Yeah, he's just going to finesse his way out of every situation.
Yeah, that's how I'd see it.
Anything else you'd like to discuss, Herbe?
Yeah, did we already run through that Jujutsu episode?
Yo, let's run through that Jujutsu episode.
Yeah, so Jujutsu Kaisen 238, Inhuman Makyo. So Kushimo, the guy who's fighting Sukuna, he's like, oh man, he's perfection. He has bunch of arms so he can weave signs that help him and this, that, and the other. And he's like physically imposing. And so Sukuna unleashes another reality slicer is what I'm going to call it, but like pretty much cuts through a whole bunch of stuff. And this is where my flavor came in when he talked about the woman that tried to tell him that she's going to show him love. And he was like, she's better off talking to Gojo. So, and then I think this is part where I wasn't too sure about, but I think it's like the creator of cursed objects. And so like he gives a little bit of his body or soul or whatever it is, his energy into these objects, and I guess they just span through time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's like resurrection magic, almost like how Orochimaru does his curse mark, where he like get extracted. If that makes sense.
Well, they were also saying because he has four arms and two mouths, like he's damn near impossible to defeat because like he doesn't need to like divide his attention.
Yeah, he could just eat. Or he just do whatever he needs to do and just keep it moving with his arms or legs. So, but yeah, the other guy's backstory of how people just like come to try to test their strength against him, and he just would slaughter them. And like, yeah, so he was trying to figure out the definition of like love and growing and this, that, and the other. I was like, you just slaughter indiscriminately, friend or foe. Like, you challenge me, you just gotta die.
If I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm bored, I amuse myself. And if someone gets in my way, I kill them.
Yeah, so, that's the end of it. And Yuji shows up, and everyone's coming to fight. So I'm excited to see how that goes. What if Yuji just eats Sukuna whole? It's like, oh, we're going back to melt together.
So I may do with a finger. Now it's just going to be you, me, and Megumi.
Yeah. So
I'll switch spots with him. I won't switch with you.
This took my boy body.
Alright, well, anything else, Herbie?
No, that was it.
Alright, well, guys, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.